You're listening to Fritz and Friends on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And welcome back to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here, 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com. Scott Eckersley producing this evening as well. Going out on the phone now to Kevin Grasha, who's a writer, a reporter with the Lansing State Journal. Good evening, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, good, Cheryl. Thank you.
Very good. You've got three stories that great stories in the paper this week that I wanted to catch up with you on. The first is a real interesting story because of where it's gone since it first occurred. An Okemos veteran who's now going to get treatment after an incident that started in August of last year. Why don't you give us kind of a little backstory on what occurred with that, and then we'll talk about where we're headed with it now.
Yeah. Back in August of 2010, police went out to his Okemos home on a report of an altercation. They get out there. He's got a shotgun. He apparently threatens them with a shotgun. He then goes off in the woods, and they surround the woods, and he won't surrender. He won't give up, and he apparently fired 5 to 10 shots in the air, or if you believe police, at police officers, and was arrested and charged with assault with intent to commit murder against 5 police officers. He's been in jail ever since then, and yesterday his case was had been moved to Veterans Court, and he's now being treated at a Battle Creek Veterans Hospital for post-traumatic stress disorder and as well as alcohol abuse.
In this Veterans Court program, I had Judge David Jordan on the program in East Lansing at 54B District Court. It's an interesting program because it kind of, in lieu of incarceration, it gets them into treatment rather than just that. It doesn't negate the charges out there, but it gets them into treatment at that point to try to help them.
Correct. It's all about treatment and not really focused on punishment. And in this case, a great argument could be made for treatment. In fact, his wife was telling me yesterday that he was suicidal that night. And there is a phenomenon known as suicide by cop, where you basically try to get police to shoot you.
Yeah, and I read that in your article, a very well-written article, and, you know, it's a sensitive topic, but imagine how terrifying when she believed that's what her husband was doing by shooting in the air or towards the officers, that they would then shoot him.
Correct, and the officers responded as they should have, and it was basically to take it as a very serious situation. And he's lucky to be alive at this point.
Well, he is, and do they believe from your interaction in the case that he was suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder? He had been overseas.
Oh, yes. He'd served in Iraq in 03 and 06, I believe, and had served in combat and was awarded at least one combat medal, meaning that he'd been engaged by the enemy. And I was talking to his attorney yesterday, and he said that, and his name is Sergeant Brad Eifert, he said that Sergeant Eifert had told him some stories of what happened in Iraq that, you just never would want to repeat.
Well, and I think, and that's what I appreciated so much about this Veterans Court, again, not to lessen incidents that have occurred, but there may be another direction we need to go with some of these veterans. We can't send them off to see these things and expect them to come back the same people. That's not possible to do.
Correct. And he actually came back, and in 07, he was assigned as a recruiter and in this area. And he pretty quickly realized that his mind wasn't right. And his wife said he kept trying to get reassigned to a base somewhere where he could get treatment, and that never happened. And so that's kind of part of the reason why we may be where we are right now.
Now, he's headed to Battle Creek, to a hospital there, to get help for post-traumatic stress disorder. What happens with the case now, the criminal part of the case? I'll just ask you that question.
Yeah, it's actually kind of in a weird spot. This has never been done before.
Okay.
This is the first time that the court has done this, and he's actually an active duty soldier and not a veteran, but the court allowed him in the program anyway. There's no time frame on his treatment. Judge Jordan is going to get regular updates, and I talked to the prosecutor who's involved with the Veterans Court, Guy Sweet, and he said yesterday, the charges are just basically pending until a resolution happens, but we don't know what that resolution is going to be.
Well, and it sounds like his attorney, Frank Reynolds, Mr. Eifert's attorney, I did like his quote from you that said, I think we finally found ourselves in a position where we're doing the right thing.
Correct. And really, Frank should be commended for just going out there and getting Sergeant Eifert into this program, because he really had to go through a lot of bureaucracies to get it done.
Well, it's a great program. We got a couple minutes left. The story of the Pawama woman charged in a carjacking who was hiding in the trunk. Have you ever quite seen anything like that?
No, that is in my since 2005, I've been a crime reporter, and I've never seen anything even close to that.
And of course, we're speaking about a case where a woman was the ex-wife of a boyfriend, climbed in the trunk, allegedly. I mean, she's been arrested.
Right.
And we'll go ahead with the story. We've got a couple of minutes left.
Yeah, it's her ex-husband's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And she works at MSU. This girlfriend works at MSU. And this woman, Nicole Munson, at MSU, somehow gets into this trunk of this woman's car. And the woman gets off work, is driving back to her home, I think in St. John's, and at some point notices her trunk lights on in her car. She pulls over, tries to shut the trunk or open it and shut it. It won't do either. And then she tries to see what's going on in the trunk, and she opens the back seat where you can apparently gain access to the trunk through the back seat, and sees this woman lying there wearing latex rubber gloves, some kind of disguise, sunglasses, dark clothing, and with a stun gun right next to her.
I think I would have stroked out right there. The woman driving the car.
She ran.
Yeah, I was going to say she was ahead of me. She was able to run.
Yeah.
And then apparently the gal in the trunk took off with the car and was later found.
Correct.
Where does that stand now in terms of what happens next?
Yeah, there's a. She's been arrested and held. She's being held at the jail without bond. And the next step's a preliminary hearing where they'll determine if she stands trial.
Well, I'm telling you, you hang around long enough, you're going to see everything. And I'm not making light of this by any means, but it reminded me of the gal from NASA driving across country.
Yeah.
It was just the strangest thing. As always, Kevin, fascinating to follow your writing.
Great. Thanks, Cheryl.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
You too.
We've been speaking with Kevin Grasha, writer and reporter for the Lansing State Journal. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.